quality. Side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly siding.
The following programming is sponsored by Home Improvement Fix and Facts. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Saying in her sleep, brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Well, good Tuesday morning. Welcome to our house here at WWDB. You're listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway, another informative DIY show for you to listen to. First, I'd like to let you know who is bringing you our show today. It is LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding in Brush Smooth Finish. Yes, it is very appealing to homeowners. It's a product that is designed to be longer lasting with superior protection and against the elements. LP SmartSide Expert products are treated with four components of protection called Smart Guard Process. This adds strength and helps the product withstand impacts, freeze, thaw cycles, high humidity, fungal decay, and termites. Yep, it's a beautiful product, and I highly advise you to go to the website and check it out. Visit lpcorp.com/philadelphiahomes. That's lpcorp.com/philadelphiahomes. Thank you, LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding. We are live on the air today at 860 AM on your radio. We are live on the podcast, and also you can listen to the podcast later today as well as Odyssey. And as a lot of people do, they instant message me and text me questions that they have for the show, excuse me, on Instagram and Facebook under Home Improvement Fix and Facts. Yay. Okay. I like to get all that stuff out of the way. So I thought it would be fun to figure out for all of you homeowners out there, you know, there's a lot of little DIY things that you can do. And one of them is about your property line on your property. Not everybody has an appraisal and a person come and survey your property. And we ran into this problem when we bought our home 6 years ago. We were told where the property line was. We found a couple stakes. Then a bunch of neighbors were saying, oh, no, the guy who built this home was a shyster and moved the stakes and moved the property lines. And we tried to do it on our own at first. And then it was really important for us for really important reasons to actually have to get a surveyor to come in, you know, because of disputes. It's always important to know what your rights are as a homeowner, especially when it comes to property lines. And disputes that can be caused by your neighbors' arguments, easements, shared driveways, where's the fence, where are the bushes? All of these things are important. So I thought it would be great to share with you a couple little tips for you to find your own property lines. Now, it's very common to have stakes several inches underground along your property lines. Not so deep, you know, that you can't find them, although that can happen, but they should match up with about where the frost line is in the winter. Deep enough that you might have to do a little digging to find your post. Usually, like I said, they're metal posts. But in that case, if you don't have a metal detector, you know, if you're not one of those beach goers that goes looking for coins and jewelry and whatever metal you can find at the beach, you can rent one or buy one. They're not very expensive. As a bonus, like you have it. If you go to the beach, you can do a little treasure hunting, right? But rent one, borrow one from a friend, but a metal detector will help you find where those posts are. And when you found your target on your property, you want to dig down and make sure it's really a stake and not something that somebody lost, like a quarter, you know, or something like that in the soil. After you found the iron stake on your property, replace the dirt, of course, and put a piece of wood, a stake, to mark the end of the property. We still have some of our stakes up from when our property was surveyed, believe it or not. We've purposely kept them there, and we've asked for the markers not to be dropped. In some cases, they are dropped below ground level, but a couple points on our property, we asked for those markers to be raised on the property so that we can find them. I should have asked for all four of them to be raised. I'm going to tell you how you can figure this out, though. I really wish I had kept all four raised. I didn't. I know I can physically see three of my four stakes. And when we had our professional surveyor come, we found out that the property lines were moved. And we gained property in one area and lost property in another area. Now, this is really important. Like I said, if you're getting into a legal dispute, because you don't want to find that you're putting up a fence, you're putting up a structure that's too close to the property line, and the township or borough or city will make you remove it. But if you just want to know for your own purposes, these are some great tips. It's always important that you know your rights. That is so, so important, because man, oh man, neighbors can get ugly and arguments can easily be stopped if you have the proper knowledge. So leaves, pods, acorns, tree limbs, branches falling onto your property are considered a natural occurrence. Yes, of course they are. And the property owner's responsibility to clear away. So if branches fall and cause damage to your property, we've talked about this on previous insurance shows. If branches fall and cause property on your damage for any other reason than a storm, your neighbor is normally responsible for the cleanup. So let me explain that to you and the damage. So if it's a storm, brings down a tree, crushes your wooden fence, you're responsible, not your neighbor. If your neighbor decides to take a tree down that has overhanging onto your property, your neighbor is responsible for coming to you and telling you that they have to get on your side of the property to clean up all the debris. So that's important. It could cause some problems. Yeah, it can definitely cause some problems. But it's nice if you know your rights and what should and shouldn't be done. We have a question. Yes.
What if you have termites in your tree? Because that's what happened to my parents. They had termites. We had a tree in our backyard, and we had termites, and the termites made the tree topple onto my neighbor's deck and destroyed his deck.
Yeah, that's a great question. So number one, first check with your insurance company. They'll probably tell you that it's your responsibility to fix it and repair it, but the insurance company should cover the repairs on your side of the fence. I would always nicely go to the neighbor and talk to them and let them know, like, hey, you knew this happened. You knew that you had termites. Can you help me absorb some of the cost, or at least come and clean it up, and then I'll deal with it from there? So kindness goes a long way with your neighbors, but it doesn't always work. Now, if you know that a neighbor has a serious problem, if you're able to physically see that they have a problem with termites, or they have dead trees on their property that are close to your property lines, or you know that if a tree should fall, even if it's in the middle of your yard, based on the way that tree is going to fall, that it's dead, then and it causes damage to your property, you can try to talk to your neighbor first and say, hey, I'm not trying to cause a problem, but could you remove that tree because it's going to cause damage? If they don't do it, you can send them a certified letter saying, I just want to make you aware that you have a dead tree on your property along the property line, or that will fall in my direction because it is dead because of the termites. And I need it. I'm asking you to please remove it before it causes damage. Believe it or not, by actually putting it in writing and sending a certified letter with a return receipt, the insurance company will go after your neighbor then. So it's really cool information to have, although you might piss your neighbor off a little bit. So having a neighborly conversation is the first thing to do. But if you really just don't like your neighbor, then that's the nasty way to do it. So it's a storm, your insurance company is going to cover it. Damage from termites or something like that, it's a phone call to your insurance company. It's a phone call that you can also make in advance, TJ, by calling the insurance company and say, hey, what do you recommend I do? My neighbor has a tree that's being eaten by termites. It's going to fall, and I'm worried about it falling on my property. Your insurance company will direct you. So I hope that answers your question. Yay. If you and your neighbor are having issues about property lines and your deeds, you can pull up any deed in your neighborhood. Whatever county you live on, by going to the county website or the Philadelphia website or wherever it is that you live. And we had to do this as well in our neighborhood. I literally pulled up the deed to every one of my surrounding neighbors to see what their property lines are, because we have there's a lot of information in this show, folks. So if I seem like I'm scattered and going back and forth, it's because all this stuff pops into my head that I want to share with you. We have, it's not necessarily an easement. It is a utility access right of way. And I've talked about this on the show before. So it's an access road, even though it's part grass and part blacktop, it's an access road for the utility companies to get to the lines, the power lines, the cable lines, whatever they need to do, should they need to repair. But some of my neighbors think that a utility access line gives them complete access to use our private road whenever they want, which is why I pulled up the deeds to all the properties and then ended up taking it to the township. Now, we're still fighting a few of these, and the township wants to take no responsibility. And I'm like, but it's your rules. You need to enforce your rules. So it can get costly over time. But if you get along with your neighbor and you don't know how to look up somebody's property, now a lot of this, and I'll get back to how you can look up a property in a couple minutes, but a lot of this is just, you know, asking your neighbor, hey, let's compare our deeds. Let's see if our property lines and our so-called markers agree, that they match up, that the same measurements are there, because the side of your property that's against their side of the property should have the same markers, like the pin at the north corner at 283 feet. That's what I'm talking about in your deed. And if you go and look at your deed, you'll see all this language in there. But you can compare with your neighbor, and sometimes you can work together to figure out where your property lines are. You can do it yourself, but sometimes you can agree to have a survey done and split the cost. You cannot bully another person, by the way, into paying for a survey. If you want the survey, be prepared. You're going to pay for it. But if it's an iffy area and you have cool neighbors, maybe you split some of the costs, maybe not all the costs, but maybe along that particular property line. Always check with the local laws, though, before you get into a dispute, because property laws do change drastically from state to state. So the knowledge I'm giving you is here for the state of Pennsylvania and in the local areas of the Philadelphia area, Delaware County, Chester County, Montgomery County, et cetera, et cetera. The laws definitely change when you go into New Jersey, when you go into Delaware. But these are things that you can look up yourself. I mean, we know the internet is a vast wealth of information, to say the least. We know that. But you want to make sure that the facts are right. And you can usually get those facts by going to the county or whatever's official website. You can also go to the courthouse and look up these different documents. It's really easy. Plan a day. They'll teach you. They'll actually, if you go to the courthouse, to deeds and wills and all those different departments, but you want to go to the deeds, real estate area, and you can literally sit there and pull up the information yourself. I suggest you make copies of it or forward, download and forward it, bring your computer, but they will make copies for you as well. It's if you can find the iron pin or even one iron pin on your property, what's really important is measuring. So we have a little tool where when you walk, it measures. It measures in feet. It just keeps running up. It's a really cool tool. See, here I am because I was actually planning a different show for today. I don't have the name of that. It's like a pedometer, only it's on a long stick. My husband could help me with that. But then you take it from that point of the marker and say it's 282 feet. You walk in that direction 282 feet. Now, here's the problem. Are you walking more left? Are you walking more right? Are you walking straight ahead? I say go up to the 282 feet. Make yourself a little mark there with some spray paint or some chalk or something of that sort, and then see if you can find the iron pin, the second iron pin in that vicinity. So it's an easy way to figure out if you can just find one iron pin, you can usually walk out and measure the rest of your property. I know, you know, this is important because I know the second house I ever bought, what I was told by the realtor, oh yeah, that's all your property over there. There was a side yard. And I'm like, oh really? Where does it end? And she just waved her hand and she said, somewhere over there. Now, I was still really young buying my house and I believed what she said. So one day I had a picnic table out there and my neighbor came over and she was really nice and we got along. And she says, oh, I see you put a picnic table out. I don't mind, but I just want you to know it's on my property. And I'm like, what? And she said, oh, yeah. And she pointed out where her property was. Well, I immediately went in the house, got a tape measure and started measuring my property. And lo and behold, she was right. Like this whole area that I was using, thinking it was my own, ended up being my neighbor's. I almost wanted to approach her to find out if I could buy a piece of that property, which I knew they wouldn't sell. But it was a really tough thing because here I talked to my neighbor on the other side of me who had lived in the neighborhood for forever. The house was handed down, so it was still in the family. And she said, oh yeah, Sophie, who owned my house that I bought. I was the third owner in that house. That's funny because I'm the third owner in this house too. But Sophie had said, the neighbor had told me Sophie owned all the property all the way out to the street. And over the years, she started selling it off. So she was still as shocked as I was. She thought I still owned part of that property. So it was really easy to figure out after I knew. Then, of course, I'm pulling out my deed and I'm checking the measurements and I'm specking out my property, and lo and behold, it was so much smaller than what I thought it was. This is something that you should know. You look like you have a question.
Aren't some of the property lines cut off by bushes?
Yes.
But you don't have a bush between like your neighbors and yours?
In the back corner, we have bushes. Yes, that's another reason why we had somebody come out. When there's bushes and trees and things like that, it makes it a little bit harder. Like we know our utility right of way because we have what's called a landlocked house. I'll tell you about that too. And so we had to figure out on the private driveway that we have how much of that land belonged to actually us as an easement to allow us to get to our house. A landlocked house, listeners, is a house that has no access to a road directly. You have to go down a private driveway to access another road to get to the main road. So you're landlocked. You don't have direct access from your street, from your house, to a driveway that takes you to a main road. So for us, we have a landlocked house that is surrounded by other houses, which means when our house was made and built, the owner had to get an easement from the neighbor to be able to travel across his property to get to our house. And by traveling across his property, we had to put the previous owners had to put a private driveway in. And by putting a driveway in, we had to get what's called a legal property line driveway easement to be able to use it. So we maintain it. He doesn't have to. It's our responsibility to maintain it. But that's the only way to get to a street is to drive down our driveway, which crosses over the back of his property. So a landlocked house means that you are landlocked on all four sides by houses and have another way that you have to get to your house. Now, sometimes there's shared driveways. You'll see some houses that have a shared driveway that goes up the driveway to one house, then further up to another house, and then further up to another house. Those houses behind that first house are what are considered landlocked houses, and they need access to a driveway to get to the main road. So again, that caused a problem with us knowing what we needed to do in order to make sure that we had the right property lines, who was allowed to use our private driveway, because we were told, only three houses are allowed to use this driveway. But a lot of the neighbors in our particular neighborhood, it's particularly spelled out in the township's handbooks that you can only have one driveway with access to a road, and they tell you which road it is, but people were using our road because it saved them all of about 30 seconds when they were driving. So we learned a lot about our house and where the property lines start and where they finish and what we have to use. So like I said, most municipalities use iron stakes to mark property lines, and they're usually at the corners of the plots where your property lines meet with your neighbors. And searching for the markers can be a real chore, like you said, TJ. If there's bushes there, if there's gardens there, if it's overgrown in that area, like we have a section that we've purposely let overgrow because we're trying to keep people from driving down our private driveway. So we're just like, oh my gosh, we're losing probably about 40 square feet of property. That's a lot of property by not clearing it. But we can't put a fence up. We can put it along one part of the property line, but not the other to make a square. We can't make a square of a fence because it's a utility access road. We need to keep it clear for the utility companies to get down there. If there's a fire, the fire companies have to drive down to get to the back of the house if they can't get there from the person's driveway and street. I'm telling you, people, if you see something when you are buying a house and you are not sure about what it is, you can look for the property lines yourself when you're looking at a house and find out where it is. You can go pull up the deed. They should have a copy of the deed there. But you can go to the real estate sites and pull it up. I'm going to tell you in a minute how to pull up a deed, just in case you want to know. You should be in a safe spot in your house. You should know where to find it and access it. And maybe even a safe deposit box is a safe spot for your deed. But let me take a quick commercial break. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly-siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly-siding.
Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I've built my life around you.
Some nice mellow music for the song of the day. But you know what? Changes can happen to your property, especially if your property lines are off. So I got a quick question. Is a GPS accurate for property lines? And believe it or not, typically a GPS overview of your property are considered to be pretty accurate options for surveying devices. And there is actually ways to use the GPS satellites and looking at the subdivisions in your area. But like in my area, and each area has what they call a views map, which is at the courthouse. Now, because I'm in Chester County, it's called Chesco Views. There's one in Delaware County that I had pulled up to look at that. It just depends. Just go to your website for your township, your borough, your, you know, county, whatever it is that you're looking at. Chesco Views is such an easy way to find the properties that you're looking for and the parcel information. So when you go in and you look for the map section, you can type in your address and be very careful about how you type it in. It'll tell you whether you have to put north, south, east, west, avenue, lane, road, whatever, and put your information in and it'll give you a map. Now, if you're not sure, you can just pull up a great big map, a topical map of the area when you get to the website that shows you the parcel viewers app that you can look at, property lines, and you can zoom in on your area. And then that's going to give you a depiction of your property lines and your neighbor's lines, and you can zoom in on it. And when you do that and you click on it, it's going to give you information on that page about that property. It's going to give you a property and parcel number. It might be something like 37.89.521A. Usually if there's an A or a B or something out after those numbers, it means that that piece of property was subdivided at some point. But when you look up that property number and then you can actually click on that number, it will then tell you the owners, when they bought it, and it'll tell you where you can find the book and page where the deed would be located for that property. So there's a lot of information. If you take a couple minutes and learn how to navigate the websites for your township, borough, whatever, you can find out a lot of property. And that's how I was, a lot of information. That's how I was able to pull up all the property deeds for all my surrounding neighbors, because I needed to know in accordance with what my township said for driveways and access to roads, what were their rules and regulations. And then looking at the deeds and seeing who was trying to use access to my property, which they did not have the right to do. That's why it's important to know what your property lines are. Is there an easement? Is there something in your property that you didn't realize was there? So by going to the official website of your county, whether it's Delaware County, Chester County, Montgomery County, Bucks County, wherever it is, you can actually pull up all the information that you need to find about your particular area. So Google Maps is a good way to get an idea. If you're just trying to get an idea, your deed to your property is probably the best way to do it. And you're looking for survey pins, stakes, iron rods, markers, all of these different things that can be found. And I will tell you that if you have had your property surveyed or you find the pins to your property, it is illegal to remove them. And it is illegal for one of your neighbors to remove a property marker or a pin to your property. And you can literally sue them. Not that I want to cause problems with the neighbors. I'm just letting you know, if you see one and think, oh, well, I need two more feet, I'm going to move this iron pin, you can't. So be really, really careful. And the other reason that property lines are important, and this is why it's good to get along with neighbors, is we have a huge row, and I use my house as an example because I can and because I live there and because I run up against these things. When we have a huge row of forsythia bushes along one of the lines of our property. When we moved in, we found an iron marker that was there, and we were told by two of our neighbors that that marker had been moved, and it looked like we only had 2 feet of property on the other side of our forsythia bushes. Well, because there were discrepancies about that and trying to find out about this utility access to our private road and neighbors telling us that the owner who built the house was a shyster and moved all the markers for his convenience, we actually did hire a surveying company to find out that he did indeed move one of the pins, and it now turned out that on the side of past our forsythia bushes, we own 8 more feet of property. That's a lot of property on the other side of our bushes, along about a, you know, we're on like an acre and a third. So think about how big that property is. That's a lot of property. Now, in a perfect world, I would like to reclaim that property, but I don't want to take down the forsythia bushes, and the cost to put a fence up along that line is really costly. Not only that, I would have to abide by the township's rules of a fence. How many feet inside of my property line does that fence have to be? Remember, wherever your property line is, it's different when you're planting like bushes and things like that. That's more of a natural thing. But when you're putting a physical structure in place like a fence, you have to know exactly where the property line is 100%. And you also have to know exactly how many feet in from the property you need to come, not out past your property, inside of your property. So if you're 3 feet inside of your property and put up a fence, technically you're responsible for maintaining the other side of that fence and your side of the property, the 3 feet on the other side of the fence. Although most other homeowners will be, oh, look, they put up a fence. I can cut the grass on this side of the fence. No problem. I picked up 3 more feet of property. It's also important if you're taking down a physical fence that's already been there and putting in a new fence, please check for your property line markers and posts or anything of that sort and make sure that that fence was put up in the right place. If you get along well with your neighbors, not an issue. Take it down, put it up. But it's amazing what can cause disputes with neighbors in your area. It's really tough. It can cause so many problems. But be accurate. There's places that you can go to get that information. You can pull up deed maps to your house through your township county courthouse. You can pull it up on your deed and you can check your property yourself. And unless you are having a dispute like fencing or maybe a subdivision of your land, you have to get a surveyor to do that and have that recorded. So when we had ours recorded, it went back to the original markers, the original deed markers that were originally there. What was on the deed is what the surveyor specced out to find that the marker that was at the far corner of our property, where we picked up almost 8 feet of property, was definitely moved and was in the wrong place. So we picked up about 8 feet along the longest side of our property all the way down the line, and we lost about 3 feet along the back of our property, which is was the shortest amount of our property. So keep in mind, you can do this. A metal detector is what will help you find it. there, and make sure that you get a good company to do your survey. Surveys can run quite a few $100s. Sometimes you can negotiate with them. Prices are always going up. I highly advise any possibility of a dispute that you might have about the property that you immediately after you get your purchase your home, have it surveyed if the markers aren't there and you don't know. And the only reason we did it is because people were complaining that it wasn't accurate. So I hope that helps you in that particular area with being able to find your property line. Now, another thing that you can do if you're trying to mark your line 100% and you're going between stake to stake, property marker to property marker, is using a chalk line to actually set that line to see where it is. And we did this on our property and used a chalk line. And not everybody knows how to accurately use a chalk line. And after we did this, I then physically went out there and made a real thick border with sidewalk chalk where I could and spray painted along the grass so that our neighbor would know, like, this is our property. I wanted them to be aware. So learning how to use a chalk line is not difficult to use. It's great for making accurate straight lines. It's helpful if you're doing any landscaping. There's definitely something magical about the device that you use with the rope and the chalk to make a chalk line. It's super, super easy. So no other tool except a really expensive laser. So unless you want to buy a laser to laser mark, you know, just like you would hang a picture, get straight lines, a chalk line is it's crisp. It's makes a perfect line in the blink of an eye. And like I just said, no other tool except an expensive laser makes a perfectly straight line over a long distance. So it's quick and it's reliable and it's easy to use. And the best way is to load the chalk into a chalk line. There's a nice little tool that has the string. You load the chalk into it. It's a squeeze. It's powdered chalk that you squeeze into the chalk box and allow, you know, tap it a little bit. Occasionally it settles, so make sure it's loose. You have choice of colors, believe it or not, red, blue, white, fluorescent color chalk to fill your little chalk box. Blue is generally what you'll see contractors use. And then it's so easy. You just snap a basic line. You hook one end of the chalk box to whatever you're measuring, so you can tamp it down into the ground. And then you walk your distance with the string and the chalk box as far as you can reach, and you hold the chalk, the chalk box. You grab it between your forefinger and your thumb, and you chalk a line. You lift it about 4 inches up off the ground, so you're walking it along wherever it is that you want to measure. This is great if you're putting a driveway in. This is great if you're trying to do a deck or gardens and you're trying to get an idea of your area. And once you have your set end in the ground, you walk along where you want it to go, lift it and raise it about 4 inches, and then release it, and it'll snap to the ground, to the floor, to the surface that you're looking at, and it will give you the chalk line that you need to follow. And then, like I said, I went back and spray painted right over top of that chalk line to the inside of the chalk line on my property, because spray paint makes a wider line. So with fluorescent orange paint, bright orange paint, because I wanted our neighbor to know that our property had been surveyed, and my husband didn't want to leave all the stakes up along the property line, because sometimes they'll leave, if you have a long piece of property, they'll do your stakes at your four corners, but they might put a few stakes in along the property line. So that's what I did. And you can use a chalk box on drywall. You can use it anywhere around your home. It's really, really easy to use. You can also use chalk lines on your roof, because you can hook it to the end, especially if you're trying to cut shingles for your roof, and get a chalk line. You lay your shingles there, you get a chalk line, and then you know where to cut. So there's a lot of fun. It's an inexpensive tool. You just want to make sure that you're holding it accurately, that you're stretching it taut. Sometimes a helper will help you, or like I said, nail it. Nail the end into something right in that area, right near the marker, and press down and snap it. Get it as long as the string will go, and then mark that area and do another line if necessary. It's also a really good technique for irregular surfaces when you want to make sure that you're going over the hills and over the rocks and over the, believe it or not, the bushes, because you can actually take it over the bushes. Not that it's going to mark the bushes properly, but it's easier to do. And then if you don't want to do that, you can spend the money and buy an expensive laser, which is fabulous. When they came out to dig up part of our driveway, they had these amazing laser tools, and they were amazing, but they were expensive. So that's the best way to mark your property if you're not sure, and then spray paint it or stake it or whatever it is that you want to do. And it's definitely going to help you if you're putting a fence in. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts. We are going to take another quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners, to build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly-siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly-siding.
Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
And we are back. You're listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway. I have a great little story. Somebody asked me, what trouble can I get in if I chop down my neighbor's tree? Huge, huge trouble. So let me tell you what, you cannot chop down your neighbor's tree. You cannot. I don't care if it's got termites. I don't care what the issue is. You cannot legally go onto their property and remove their tree or their plants or their shrubs or their bushes or anything. I have a fun little story here to tell you. However, you can cut down any of the branches that hang over your property. You don't need permission. You can just take them right down. Any of the hedges that overhang on your property, all of that can be removed on your side of the property. So I have this funny little story here while I have a couple minutes left about a family who moved into a community with tight spaces between the homes that they had. And they chose to install, instead of putting up a fence, they chose to install thousands of dollars worth of plants to give them privacy from their next door neighbors. The main reason, according to the person, was we didn't like them being able to see into our kitchen. I get it. It makes sense. You want privacy. Sometimes it's hard. So the story goes, a week later, my parents awoke to the plants completely chopped down. My father was furious and marched down to the neighbor's house. He told my father the plants were on his property line. Therefore, he had total right to take them down. He warned that if we were to go onto his property again, he would report us to the authorities immediately. Later that day, my father called the company to put in the plants, and with a warranty, they had a warranty when they put all these shrubs and plants in, they were able to have them replanted at no charge. They made sure that there was no way it was on the neighbor's property. However, a few days later, they caught the neighbor chomping down the plants again at 2 a.m. in the morning. Okay. They decided to call the police upon obstruction of property. And after a chat with my neighbor, he decided to call a professional surveyor and mark his property. My father agreed. A few days later, the family noticed orange tape in the neighbor's backyard. Apparently, his face was 11 feet over on our property line. We watched as he took down the fence, completely furious. Within the next month, we were enjoying our new space. 11 feet is a lot of land. We were enjoying our new space, our private backyard, and my neighbor ended up losing a quarter of his backyard. My neighbor ended up having to pay back almost $10,000 for the destruction of our property, and we got our plants to plant again. So there is a little story in there for everybody. That's not my story. It's just a cool story that I found online, and I wanted to share it with you. When in doubt, get your property surveyed. If you're not sure about doing it yourself, if you think your neighbor has built his fence, his driveway, our neighbor built his driveway. He illegally connected his driveway to our private driveway. And guess what? We chopped it up and removed it. Now, we could have made him pay for it, but we decided not to because he's already not a nice person. So we decided not to do that, and we turned it all back into grass, and we actually went about a foot inside our property line with the grass so that we could keep the metal stakes that were sticking out of the blacktop in the ground to show that that is still our property. So part of me so wants to put up a fence, but it wouldn't be as pretty as the forsythia bushes. Just to regain, that's a lot. That's a lot of land. So when in doubt, I mean, if you have any thoughts whatsoever that your neighbors are infringing on your property lines, make sure that you look into it. I mean, when I was doing my research, I saw stories about a neighbor built a fence right through a pool because the neighbor had installed the pool on his property line. And just to be spiteful, people do nasty things. So you do really want to get along with your owners, but sometimes, not owners, your neighbors. But sometimes it's really hard. And like with me, I thought with my second house that I had bought that I had all this property and was taking advantage of it, only to find out it legally wasn't mine to use, and found out that my property literally ended at my sidewalk. So it was really sad. So be careful with what you do, and be careful. Look around your neighborhood. You know, these are tips that I've given you over previous shows to make sure, drive the neighborhood. Look at how your neighbors maintain their houses. You know, do you want to move in next door to somebody that just is a junk collector and the front of their property is a mess? So, I mean, you can, if it's really bad, you can ask the township or the county to cite them to clean it up, but it doesn't always work. So be careful with your property lines. It definitely can cause problems with your neighbors. It can definitely cause disputes. And if you end up getting drug into court and you're wrong, you have to pay all the fees and pay back the money. So try to stay away from that. But I mean, just general knowledge of knowing, everybody should know where their property ends and begins. Just because you were told that, you know, oh, there's a row of hedges there, that's where my property ends, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. So it's up to you to go and check it. So that's just a little bit of information to help you understand what happens right in your own neighborhood, things that you can do yourself. And remember, if your neighbors have no trespassing signs posted on their property, don't trespass. You know why? Because they probably have a gun. And they're probably not nice, and they probably don't want you on their property. It's hard to believe that a property line dispute could cause problems like that. But you've heard the stories about kids that not too long ago, kids that got lost and went knocked on a door to get directions, thinking that they were at a particular house and it was the wrong address, and the guy shot the girl. Like, no trespassing signs, I'm staying away. So, and it can happen. It can definitely happen, and then you end up being a victim. So there's a lot of things that you can do. Be careful about fence height, too. Check with your township, because you can't always install the height of the fence that you want in your township. They have rules and regulations for all of that. So make sure that you remember. There's some other things that you can find out, too. If you're puzzled, I'm trying still to this day to find the original blueprints for my house. I talked to somebody who said they were a cousin of the person who originally built the house that we live in now. I can't remember her name, but if I can find her again, she said that she had the original blueprints. I would love to know what the blueprints are to my house. I would love to know how to find that. But sometimes you can take a trip to the county recorder's office. Remember, that's where they maintain all the public records and documents related to real estate ownership, among other things. So it's the county recorder's office. Wanted to make sure before I left I got you the right name. And typically, they hold the proverbial keys to all building permits that contain architect, contractor, subcontractor, and often subcontractor information. And this should be one of the first steps for home ownerships with a home built that was built in the last few decades to help you find some of the information that you might seek. Sometimes you can find things at a library. Sometimes you can check your state's historical society, museums, or history centers. Sometimes your real estate agent might be able to put you on the right track. And like we found out, we talked to our neighbors. We talked to all of our neighbors. We found out that there was a huge train milk tank buried underground across the street in our neighbor's property because they were afraid that they would run out of water. So this is the silliest thing ever. Our downspouts run underground in the front of our house, and they literally fill up a milk tanker truck across the street in our neighbor's yard. It's not a dispute. It's not a problem, but like, seriously? What was this guy thinking? So you want to talk to your neighbors. And we asked, you know, all of the neighbors had, they buried this tanker here. They buried it here. They buried it here. I found out from, God rest her soul, Charlotte, before she died, she was one of the original people in the neighborhood before that whole area was subdivided. And she's the one that was able to locate the tanker, the milk tanker that would be on a rail car for us. And sure enough, then we went and talked to the people that owned the house. And there is, if they go into the little tiny shed, there's a door on the floor that goes into it, a big metal rounded tanker. So, yes. And he said the water's gross. So talking to your neighbors can be a really great thing if you get along with them. You know, chatting up with your neighbors, finding out what you can and can't do is really what you want to do. So I just wanted to let everybody know that on Mondays I do a show from 3 to 4 called Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, and I was going to do a whole show about Project 2025, and this is a little bit of a political thing here, and I put it off because of what had happened in the news over the weekend. I didn't think it was appropriate, but if anybody wants to know about what Project 2025 is, next Monday from 3 to 4. I will be breaking it down and helping you understand how that can affect you and your future as a citizen here in the United States. I wanted to thank our sponsor, LP SmartSide Expert Finish, Trim, and Siding in Brush Smooth Finish. You can visit lpcorp.com/Philadelphia Homes. Thank you for listening. Make it a great week. Pay it forward. Do something nice for someone.
There ain't nothing wrong with this old house. Just needs a little home.